welcome this morning to Peter Quince and David Gabriel. And you've actually staged this play before, haven't you, or at least in a form?
Yeah. Well, we did a cabaret show called Divine Lunacy in 2006 that played to sold-out audiences at the Black Swan Theater and had a huge response. But I'm Peter, by the way. I always had in mind, even back in 2006, I always had in mind putting together a full musical with the story, beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, full book musical, yeah.
Exactly. And we just didn't have time to create it in 2006. And I was, at the time, I was partly moved by what I knew about David's own personal story and about what had happened with a close friend of mine, with Joni McGowan, who everybody here on the radio station knows. Because I knew Joni, and I'd done some work with her, and I thought she was amazingly talented, and I had no idea how much pain she suffered. And the fact that she was so brilliant, and in order to be brilliant, you really need to be willing to go to the edge. And the problem is that for some people, we don't know how painful it is to go to that edge. So I had in mind the idea of a musical that would show what an artist goes through to get to that edge, and when they cross over, and when it becomes something that becomes so painful. And so the idea of Divine Lunacy is the divine spark that is creativity that sometimes takes us to amazing places, places we need to go. Even as, you know, as a people, we need to go there, and it's delightful, it's amazing, but also how dangerous it is and how you can go past that. And at that point, maybe you need help, maybe you need understanding, maybe you need the community to come together and understand and help you get back from wherever you've gone. So David and I have been spending the last almost 2 years reworking it, creating a whole new book musical that uses some of the elements from the original, but is 90%, 85% brand new. And
And the other form that, that you might have been talking about is we had a reading at the Havara in, was it February or January? I
can't remember. Late January.
Late January. And it was sold out. It was amazing. We just got so much interest in it. And we ended up getting a lot of information in terms of what worked, what didn't work. You know, you have to try these things out. You can't just
get
put
some
them up.
Feedback.
Yeah. And we really did get a lot of really neat feedback, and we had to pretty much rewrite the whole thing. The second act is completely brand new, except for the songs. The songs, I do say so myself, the songs pretty much, you know, needed to stay where they were. But, we got a lot of information that we needed to make it better.
Yeah. Well, what happened was in the workshop performance in January, got a huge response. People said, we love this show. It's amazing. You have to get it out there. But what they wanted was they wanted it to go deeper. And so we had the comedy was great. People love the comedy because it's a hilarious show in many places. And the music is amazing. It's so appealing. But people really wanted to go deeper. So when we rewrote Act Two, we rewrote it to really take it to much more intimate places and pay off the human story.
Yeah, we decided after it was written that it looked like Act One is all about exterior, and you know,
striving
trying to put on a show, and then Act Two turns out that it's about relationships, you know, relationships and family and you know, closeness, that sort of thing.
If you have a question and you'd like to ask of Peter or David this morning, give us a call in the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782, or anywhere in the state of Jefferson, 800-838-3760. And, of course, you can always reach us online, jx@jeffnet.org. I'd like to play one of the clips that you provided for us here. I'd like to start with the third one. This one's entitled Being Normal.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'd like to hear a little bit of this. So.
Get up and go to work each day.
He's just like everybody else.
Two cups of Joe and I'm on my way.
It's such a good, good feeling. Oh,
when you're like everyone else, the voices can't spoil your day.
I had to laugh when I first heard this. I listened to it yesterday and I thought, yeah, I remember that old question about what is normal. And, you know, in a society, we believe that getting up every day and doing this little ritual that we do to go to work is normal. But I suppose from some person's perspective, they might look at that and think that's pretty insane to do that, isn't it?
Well put. Well, a part of what the show is saying is there is no such thing as normal. There's people who are passing for normal and those of us who can't. That actually, it's interesting you play that first, because that's actually the opening number of the show. And it is in the new version, it's like a big production number. And it's a lot of fun, and it helps people, I think, come into the show just having fun, enjoying it, and using the comedy to get people to join us on in the story we want to tell.
I think it's important to let people know that this is a musical comedy. I mean, we do have a point. There is a reason for doing it, but in fact, it's very, very funny, due in large part to our chief writer here, Peter Quince, who is kind of a reincarnated Borscht Belt comedy genius, if you ask me. But, you know, the character that is singing that song is actually somebody who has experienced going to that edge and going over that edge, and has experienced also the stigma, the difficulty that you have, the fact that you really can't tell people about this and expect them to see you in the same way. There is quite a bias against people who have had mental illness. And in fact, help me out here, Peter.
Well, you know, my partner works, my sweetheart works at, she's a psychiatric social worker. She works at RVMC, and she wrote a letter about supporting the show and mentioning that when she worked with families, in many cases, they would rather get a diagnosis of cancer in their family than a mental illness, because at least they can tell people and people will be sympathetic. But with mental illness, they don't know how to handle it. There's a stigma, as David said. My own family, my son, struggles with bipolar disease, which is interesting because it actually happened after our 2006 performance. I had no idea how I thought I wanted to write a musical that dealt with the issues of mental illness, and I had no idea how intimately it was going to affect me. My son, he's had two hospitalizations. He's been arrested twice. He's the sweetest guy in the world. But when the mania takes over, he can behave in ways that people take the wrong way. And I can't tell you how painful it was when I was actually there seeing him arrested, seeing him being manhandled, brutalized in some ways by the Ashland Police Department. Because, I mean, I understood why they did it. I understood why they felt they needed to protect themselves. But as a father, all I could see was that I couldn't protect my son from being brutalized. And all I could say was, he's not a criminal. He's ill. He doesn't need to go to jail. He needs to go to the hospital. And, of course, they took him to jail.
And I think it's really important to recognize that it isn't that there's a choice being made here. Oh, I think I'll be out of control. I think I'll do things that are illegal. With people that have this disorder, there is no choice. I mean, it takes you over. It changes the chemistry of your brain.
It's impulsive.
It's impulsive, and it's
yeah.
You can't really just say, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to feel that way.
And we as a society, we just don't know how to deal with it. We're afraid of it, and we stigmatize it, and we make it into something that is of them. They have mental illness. You know, when this horrible thing happened in the Navy Yard with this kid, you know, at what point was he able to actually share what was going on with him to maybe get the kind of help he needed before he went into this horrible, horrible place? And we as a society, we can't continue to stigmatize it and keep it hidden. And that's why, you know, if the culture has to change is really the story. And making a musical comedy is a great way, in the same way that Next to Normal, which was a great musical about very serious, very dark musical about mental illness. That's one way to start changing the culture, for people to see it as a human story, not as an us and them, but as an us.
Well, I wanted to ask a question about the production of it. You have a Kickstarter campaign, and I guess that's the modern way of doing things, isn't it? Tell me a little bit about the campaign, David.
Well, you know, Kickstarter is a way for us to build the funds so that we can do this production in a way that it deserves. You know, We could do it on a shoestring. We could do it, you know, just haphazardly. But we really feel that this the message that we're putting out there, and also the quality of the writing and of the songs, really deserves to have some backing. And so, you know, on Kickstarter, you go to kickstarter.com. That's the easy way to do it. Kickstarter.com, and then you just type in Divine Lunacy. And our page will come up, and we've got video there, Peter and I talking about the play and singing a few snippets of songs. And we've got all of our bios and backgrounds and stuff like that. But the idea is that it's a way to really get a lot of support.
Right. Well, it's an issue that affects all of our community. I mentioned Joni McGowan at the beginning, and one of the things that I would love for people who knew Joni, who loved Joni, if they went to the Kickstarter page and did underwrote the production in any way they want. It could be $5 or $50 or whatever you want.
Or it could, let's just say it, or, it could be $1,000.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
You won't turn the money down.
No. Well, we need to make our goal, because if we don't, we get nothing. We need to reach the goal by October 3rd. And right now we're still thousands. We have made a great start, but we're thousands of dollars away. We need people to go like right now. We need people to start pledging today. And if you say in memory of Joni McGowan, that'll be in the program. Every contribution will have a thank you in the program. And if you say in memory of Joni McGowan, that'll be in the program. I would love to see 30, 40, 50 people in the program all saying in memory of Joni McGowan. That would be an amazing statement, I think.
And what's your production timeline? When would you like to put on the play?
We're scheduled to open November 2nd. Actually have a staged invited dress on Halloween, and then open on November 2nd, and then run for 3 weekends through the 17th of November.
That's somehow amazingly appropriate, isn't it? Divine Lunacy on Halloween, especially
yes.
In Ashland.
And my birthday, by the way, is Halloween.
So there you go. Good birthday present for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you have plans to take it beyond that?
Absolutely. Well, not plans, but hopes and desires. We'd love to do a production in Portland. That would be our next goal, and then we have connections in Spokane to do some production. We ultimately we'd love this to become a production that other companies take up and produce. We want to create like a little kit, do your own Divine Lunacy, so that as I said, we start to change the conversation about mental illness. And, you know, for example, you see gay marriage is becoming unimaginable change in how people view gay marriage, and I wonder, would that have happened without TV shows like Will and Grace and Modern Family, where people take into their home somebody that they may not otherwise have gotten to know, somebody who's gay, and they start to think, well, they're just people. And that's the same idea. If people take Divine Lunacy into their home and into their hearts, they'll start to say, well, you know, mental illness is us. It's not
yes.
them.
Well, let me remind you about the phone numbers in the Medford Ashland area. If you have a question for Peter and David, 541-552-6782, or anywhere in the state of Jefferson, 800-838-3760. I'd like to play another clip. I'd like to do the second one, I know, because I have a question about that. So okay. If we could roll that.
I need to tell you something about what this medication brings. Joy and my sex, I felt lethargic and numb, and for all it corrects, I hate what we become.
You know, I thought about, maybe we touched on this a little bit, but it seems like on one hand, we offer medication, and that certainly helps some people a great deal.
Absolutely.
We
yes,
use other therapies for individuals, but there are some side effects to the medication. You almost have to be willing to make that bet and say, I'm going to give up part of who I am in order to get back something.
Wow.
And I wonder if you could
that's
address
that. That's
incredibly
well put.
Yeah, can we quote you on that? That's
that was
really
sure.
good.
Really
yeah.
good.
I should put that in the song, actually.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, my son, you know, he struggles with bipolar disorder, and it was a huge step for him to realize that he, in fact, did need medication. My mother, too, was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and she tried to kill herself twice when I was a teenager. She was an incredible creative woman. She was a theater reviewer in New York and wrote brilliantly. But she was in so much pain. After she was hospitalized and was put on medications, she no longer wrote anything. Not only did she no longer write anything, but she kind of lost the sparkle. She was, like, of all my friends, she was the favorite parent of any of my friends' parents because she was just so delightful. But she was in so much pain. When she was medicated, that all went away. She was no longer that sparkling person. But did it save her life because she was no longer in pain, or did it take away from her something? To me, what she didn't have was the opportunity to be embraced for this kooky person that she was. And she only had those two choices, you know, which was to be try to hide it and be in pain or be medicated. We need a third choice. We need a third choice where you can maybe use medication when you absolutely need it, but also that you we understand that that type of brilliance needs to be embraced, and the kookiness needs to be embraced and understood and loved.
And if society were more accepting of mental illness just in general.
Yeah, the stigma wasn't so great if people understood that.
Well, if we didn't just say that you're either sane or you're crazy.
Right. You know, we have another song that we didn't bring, which is called On the Spectrum. And that's basically saying, you know, we're all somewhere on the spectrum. To be human, one of the lines is, it may be simple neurosis or full-blown psychiatric diagnosis, but to be human, we suppose, is on the spectrum.
Hmm. Which is, of course, kind of a comic rhyme there, but...
my lyric. Still, the point is, we're all somewhere on that spectrum. And one of the reasons I think we stigmatize it is because we recognize how much we share and how we don't want to, you know, in that song, What's Not to Like About Being Normal, the first one you played, that's sort of saying, don't look too closely at me, and I don't want to look too closely at anything else because it's too scary. And the musical, by being able to gently bring people into it, is a way to really open that conversation.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for both being here this morning. We've had Peter Quince and David Gabriel, Divine Lunacy, and they have a Kickstarter campaign, kickstarter.com.
Yeah.
You can go there and make a donation to help support. We're looking
at November,
right? Or you can go to
also Facebook. We have a Divine Lunacy page on Facebook.
You have a page on there.
If you don't want to go to Kickstarter, some people don't, just go to that and like us, and then we can reach you.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on here, and I wish you the best of luck with that. And hopefully we'll turn some ideas about mental health in our society.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Milt.
All right. Coming up after the news break, we'll take a look at a new book that's out. Speaking of changing attitudes, it's called Attitude Reconstruction. So join us after the news.